Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. I'm Paul Dottino. He's David Deal. The Giants in Philadelphia wrap up their respective NFL seasons Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Now, David, so many people have walked around town talking to me saying it's a meaningless game for the Giants. But you know what? They've got over 30 free agents going into the offseason.
I've heard the same thing, Paul, and people have said that to me, and I laugh because this is not a meaningless game for the New York Giants. As an NFL player, that locker that you're sitting in is rented. It is not owned. So this last game is a time where you can show the character of you as a player and as a person, because when adversity hits, they're going to test you right now. And if you're going to be a part of this football team, you're either going to be a part of the solution next year or you are part of the problem.
Well, one guy who will be part of this team on Sunday coming off of his one-game suspension is Odell Beckham. It is time for our Geico News Recap. 15 seconds can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Hey, Beckham is 140 yards behind Victor Cruz's all-time team receiving record for a single season. He's one touchdown away from breaking his tie with Homer Jones. They've got 13 touchdown passes, or receptions, I should say, in a season. This is a big game for him.
Very big game for him, and he's proven himself throughout this entire season. And we saw the way that the offense was unable to function last week without him on the field, not only from his production, but the energy that he brings to this football team and to the offense. So his ability to bounce back and to possibly have a single season record for the New York Giants is unbelievable. And what better way for him and for this organization to end the season?
He has six 100-yard games on the season. Now, when we look at this injury list, one that I want to point to, David, is kind of close to your heart, being an offensive lineman, Marshall Newhouse. Don't know about his availability, but the other day he had to come out. Bobby Hart, the rookie out of Florida State, did well in coming in the second half.
He really did, and it's all about his technique in regards to Bobby Hart. The more he plays, the more reps he gets, the better off he will be. But I will tell you what, he is a big, strong, stout, at point of attack player, and his biggest thing is tying his hands and his feet together as a young player, because when he does those two things and he is able to lock up a player, it's over for him. And we were able to see him do that all throughout college, and that's why he was a solid draft pick for the New York Giants.
Now, Hart played 45% of the snaps the other day against the Vikings, and he was at tackle, but he has played some guard this year as well. When you look at his skill set, do you think his future is better suited to tackle or at guard?
You know, I can sit here and say it's better suited to guard because of his ability to play in the box, his ability to move defenders and three techniques at the point of attack as that type of run offensive lineman. And also, the biggest thing that I think that he brings is the ability to be versatile, the ability that if somebody does get hurt, he can bounce back out to that tackle position. But I see him as a starter on the offensive line next year.
Yeah, certainly one of the young prospects the Giants are looking forward to seeing more of. What about this safety position now? We know Brandon Merriweather had to come back and play against Minnesota when he was re-signed because the Giants are real thin there.
And that's another thing, is that we have to see with Craig Dahl. He has to go through the concussion protocol to go through everything that he is on right now. So that's going to be a big question mark heading into this game in Philadelphia, who those starting two will be. Because now with Merriweather back, he'll be the starter if Dahl can't play, and Landon Collins will be the opposite.
And, of course, as you see, Kyle Rudolph of the Vikings, one of many tight ends who have done well against the Giants this season.
He most certainly has, and that's going to be something that we have to watch heading into this Philadelphia game, because Zach Ertz, their tight end, has exploded in the last couple of weeks. Stafford has been playing, the way that Sam Bradford has been able to play and step up, he's leaning on those tight ends for his production so that he's not having to air it out and take those big shots like he tried to earlier in the season.
Now, you know, we've been talking throughout the second half of the season at how the Giants' rush defense has steadily improved. Well, then the other night they gave up a big run to Peterson, which wound up putting him in the three-digit mark. I think it was a little bit deceiving.
It really was a little bit deceiving, but the problem is they were not redirecting and establishing a new line of scrimmage. They've got to be more aggressive at the point of attack. They've got to be able to take on double teams where they're not giving up ground and not letting guards and centers get up to linebackers like they did in this game.
And then you see McKinnon, he busted one for a 68-yard touchdown, but this was already well after the game had been decided. Pass defense. Hey, how about this number? 168 yards. First time this year the Giants have given up less than 200 yards through the air.
Well, that's one thing that you would expect because you knew Teddy Bridgewater wasn't going to be that top-notch, aired out, big shots down the field, vertical threats. You knew that his passes, 70% of them are within that 10 yards or less range. So you knew that that was going to be the case coming in, but there was a lot of nice defensive plays and some stops on the back end to help limit the bigger plays that they possibly could have had.
Hey, let's go to our Twitter question of the week, David. Guy's asking about Rashad Jennings, and the interesting part about it is over his last three games, he's averaged 5 yards a carry and 87 yards a game. Why do you suppose it's all of a sudden coming together for him?
Well, number one, he is getting the bulk of the carries. There hasn't been a rotation at that position, and they've been letting him play. But two, he also knows what he's playing for. He's playing for his future and his status on this football team to prove that, number one, he is still a valuable player, but number two, that he deserves to be on this NFL roster. And you just hope that these averages and this start could have started in November because it would have definitely helped this offense dramatically.
The one other characteristic we saw in Minnesota the other day, Eli Manning was picked off 3 times. Only the second time this year he has thrown more than 2 interceptions in a game.
It really is, but you knew it was going to be that type of a game when the first ball he threw was a drop. And from that point on, you knew that it was going to be one where he was trying to force things and make plays happen because they weren't happening on the field by the players.
And the Giants had a minimum of 4 drops, depending upon how you want to grade them. When we come back, we'll take a look at the revamped Philadelphia Eagles and what they have in store for the Giants on Sunday. So stick around. Welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. So the news came down last night, a firing from Chip Kelly with Philadelphia Eagles. Pat Shurmur, the offense coordinator, takes over on an interim basis. Okay, David, got to ask you, what kind of impact does that have on the game?
Well, I don't think it has an impact X's and O's wise because they're not going to change their identity. It's the last week of the season. They're going to play their offense. They're going to play their defense. They're going to do what they do, Paul. But I do think that it will bring out more energy out of the Philadelphia Eagles because, like I said in the open for us, these are players that are going to be playing for their jobs. There's going to be change. There's going to be roster turnover, and whichever coach takes over is going to be evaluating the way that these players played this last game. So it's going to have an energy reaction. They're going to come in swinging because this is a division rival game.
You know what's interesting to me? Chip Kelly was brought in to be an offensive innovator. Shermer, of course, an offensive coach.
Yep.
Yet the Eagles averaged 23 points a game this season on offense, which, by the way, was exactly the NFL average, which just goes to show you, schemes don't always roll the boat.
No, it doesn't. You need the players. And when they change this roster, not only at the skill position, the running back, the wide receivers, but the guards on the offensive line, this offense has struggled throughout the entire season. They've had some ups, they've had some downs, but throughout the entire time, the one thing that has remained steady, the issues with the offensive line, Sam Bradford getting pressure, and their inability to have those huge, big, explosive plays like they had with LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson.
Interesting to note that in the last four games since Bradford came back from a shoulder and a concussion injury, he's thrown two 300-yard games in those four tries.
Sam Bradford has played much better. You could see him relax, but I think it's also a compliment to what they did as an offense. They simplified things. They made things much easier, and it was all about just executing the basic X's and O's, and you could see him still take his shots but not be afraid to throw the ball out of bounds or get his check down to make sure that they could try to stay ahead of the chains for third down.
All right, let's talk about the running back situation. Murray, one 100-yard game. Matthews, one 100-yard game. As a team, averaging less than 4 yards a carry and only 108 yards per game on the ground as a club. This is not what they expected.
From day one, you could see that Ryan Matthews fit into this system much better than DeMarco Murray. So that's a start. But when it comes to them, this three-headed monster still has production. They still have that threat that they can have big games. But the biggest guy you have to watch for is Darren Sproles. He is an absolute matchup nightmare, not only running the football, but catching out of the backfield. And we know that the Giants have struggled playing one-on-one with linebackers up against dynamic running backs who can catch like Darren Sproles.
You know, we mentioned Bradford getting hot here in the final month. Jordan Matthews is coming off of two straight 100-yard games. He's got four on the year.
He is a big slot receiver. He has size. He has range. He's able to go up and get the ball at his highest point. And the biggest thing that you've seen is his confidence in this system continue to grow. His ability to stretch, get those open field seams and do things have allowed Josh Huff, Riley Cooper, other players to open up things, especially at that tight end position, like I said, for Zach Ertz and the rest of those guys who can run the wide sticks, run those shallow crosses, and continue to move the chains.
Yeah, Ertz, top 10 among NFL tight ends in catches and yards. Let's flip it to defense for a minute, where Fletcher Cox has 9.5 sacks, and he's sixth among NFC defensive ends with 22 quarterback hits. He can do a lot of damage.
He plays his football on the other side of the line of scrimmage. He is a penetrator. He can work secondary pass rush moves. I've seen him beat some of the elite guards, and his pressure down the middle of the pocket has allowed those defensive ends to get some sacks as well. Now, since they're using other players in different ways, as in Connor Barwin, who in the regular season early, he was dropping back more. Now they've been allowing him to be one of those pass rushers more.
Final thing, Philadelphia Eagles, well, they've done pretty well against the Giants over the years. As you take a look at this defense, whatever those numbers are, I can also tell you they've won 12 of the last 16 matchups against the Giants since 2008, and they've won three in a row. This has been a very favorable series for Philly.
It really has, and this is a time where you can throw up these stats and it doesn't matter, Paul, because you know coming into this football game in MetLife Stadium on Sunday, it is going to be a heavyweight fight. It's going to be for pride, and it's going to be for your job.
David, it has been a great season on Press Conference Live. I'm so glad you were here with us.
Thank you very much. It's been great, Paul.
Hey, we'll see you again next year. Remember, MSG, your home for Giants football. We'll see you next time.